This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Chris, we finished the show yesterday. Rightfully so, I think, beating up on the Jets and saying, well, they were embarrassing, and there's no two ways about it. And now we find out, and certainly hasn't been great with the Jets, but their best offensive player is not going to be around for at least a minimum of 3 weeks with the hamstring, that being, of course, Lev Bell. I mean, it goes from bad to worse with this team.
Well, it's not like Adam Gase was going to use Lev Bell in the ways we think he should use him anyway. Like, I mean, he didn't get him involved in the passing game until right before the end of the first half. I mean, it took that long. So to me, I mean, Lev Bell is a huge loss in terms of being another one of those guys that could potentially be a threat that the opposing defense has to prepare for. But, I mean, it's just going to make it harder on Sam Darnold, not having him on the field. Not necessarily missing the production that Lev Bell gives you, but just the threat of having him on the field being somebody else for opposing defenses to focus on. So, I mean, the organization is not doing him any favors. Adam Gase is not doing him any favors. It's just going to continue to be tough for Sam, especially when you consider the opponent that they got coming up this week with the 49ers traveling across the country, coming off of a loss. This is going to be tough, man. It's another really good front seven, one of the best front sevens in the NFL. So I'm worried about Sam in this game, not just from, you know, a development standpoint, but just staying upright.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought he had happy feet in week one, I mean, what do you expect to happen in week two against the San Francisco defense?
I think it'll be more the same.
That I'm sure is pissed and annoyed that they lost at home to Arizona. It's going to be more of the same. That's exactly what it's going to be. And in all honesty, and I get he's going into year three, but he had the mono and everything. I'm not going to make excuses for him. But who do the Jets have to make Sam's job easier?
Nobody.
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 They have not
one guy. I mean, if you're a coach of another team and you're coming in to play the Jets and now you don't even have Lev Bell, who are you saying in team meetings, Rick? All right, we got to stop this guy. Who is
Nobody.
That guy?
There is no guy.
Jameson Crowder.
I mean, that's it. But that's it. I mean, it's Jameson Crowder. That's it.
Right. Who's fine?
No, he's fine. I mean, he is a nice complimentary piece in an offense. This is what he is.
At this point, we're not even going to be watching the Jets games wondering whether or not they're going to win. We're just watching to see the development of certain players. Like for Sam Darnold, don't turn the football over. Okay, that's a huge step. Don't turn the football over. Don't make bad decisions like you did right before the end of the first half this past Sunday. Mekhi Becton, nice job on Jerry Hughes. Let's see you have another bounce back performance against Nicky Bosa. Let's see that. Quinnen Williams, everybody talked about how you were potentially the best defensive player in last year's draft. We still ain't seen it a year later. How about you show up in a positive way? Like that's really what you're going to be reduced to when you're watching these Jets games. Marcus May, continue to have the kind of performance that you did on this past Sunday. That's it. That's what you got.
So we're a game into the season. Is the season over for the Jets?
It's a wrap.
We're one game in and the season is absolutely unequivocally done for that.
Time out, though. We can't sit here and say the season is over. We said before the season started that this was less about wins and losses. Well, for me, at least, it's less about wins and losses and more about development of the players Chris just mentioned. More importantly, Sam Darnold.
Well, I think Dave was talking about from a competitive standpoint, like the Jets, you know, winning.
Yeah, like, are we resigned to the fact? Are we resigned to the fact that this is going to be a 3 or 4 win football team?
Yeah, this is not going to. The Jets are not going to get anywhere close to the win total that they had last year. They're not going to be a 7 or 8 win team. So, from that standpoint, the season is a wrap. It's a wrap. It feels like a throwaway year the way that they played on Sunday. I mean, all of the issues that we were talking about all season long, they all popped up. And they were all worse than we thought. So, I mean, I don't know how we could look at this as anything other than let me see the development of certain key guys that could potentially be building blocks for the future. It's not about wins anymore. I don't think coming into this thing it was about wins.
No, I think we said that. For me, it wasn't about wins and losses. It wasn't. I mean, and again, maybe I'm a bad fan, but I mean, you got to be realistic about your team. The defense wasn't going to be better. It was great. It overachieved last year. It wasn't going to be better. You lost Jamal and you lost C.J. Mosley. It wasn't going to be better. And, you know, the offense, what did they – I mean, Denzel Mims is hurt. You lose Lev Bell. Even when they have Lev Bell healthy, they don't use him the right way anyway, or Adam Gase doesn't want to use him. You want to talk about Sam Darnold missing throws and everything else. I watched some of those throws, man. You're talking about, I mean, the greatest quarterback of all time. I don't care that he's 43 years old. His arm is fine. Has a hard time making the throws you're asking, Sam. At the beginning of that game, we're going to have you on the left hash. Now I want to throw it all the way across the field to the right side outside the numbers. Okay, that's because that's how we want to get the quarterback in rhythm early on in the game. That's the way we want to do it. I mean, my biggest concern with Sam Darnold is, because I think he's got tons of talent, is that what Chris just said, don't turn the football over. Now all of a sudden he starts playing that game where that's his concern is, you know what? I'm going to fight the urge to actually make a play because, you know, God forbid I turn the football over and people criticize me because we're going to lose anyway. That's how you destroy the confidence of a young athlete, period.
Well, Rick, that's why I kind of say the season is a wrap anyway, though, because we're looking at the most important player's development this season was Sam Darnold. This is year three. Like, you wanted to see him definitively take that next step. But it became glaringly obvious to me after watching the game on Sunday, Adam Gase has no plan in place in order to make that happen. Like, that's just, we're not going to see that. So the next best thing for me is him not turning the football over.
You know,
at least that would show
though, right?
Some maturation in that regard. But I mean, in terms of Sam Darnold being this force multiplier and being able to spray the ball around and make guys play above the X's and O's, that's not going to happen this year.
You know what's going to happen. They're going to win three games, and if they do, and I guarantee you this, and you guys might disagree, and they're going to want, if they wind up with a top one or two or three pick, people are going to be clamoring for Trevor Lawrence if they can get their hands on him. Clamoring.
And guess what, Dave? When you get Trevor Lawrence, you're going to parachute the kid into the same situation that Sam Darnold was in when he got drafted to the Jets. It's going to be almost the exact same situation.
And this is the risk you run, though, Dave. When you have the mentality of a coach like Adam Gase, Chip Kelly was the same way. Your system can't be predicated on asking people to do things that they're just not capable of doing. Like, I know it's year three, but it shouldn't be really. I know year wise, Sam Darnold's in his third year, but you know, when you put some context around it of where we're actually at, like usually it's a progression with a young quarterback, right? I mean, this is why it's so important to make sure the organization is in the right place when you draft your franchise quarterback. You have continuity with the GM, the coaching staff. There's some talent because it's supposed to be a progression. Like, okay, guy steps in. We can't ask him to, be a force multiplier because he's not ready for that yet. Very few are ready to do that. So we'll have a great defense. We'll run the football. We won't ask him to do much. And then as he gets to year two and year three,
yes,
we'll put more offensive talent. Now the identity can shift. It's like what Seattle did. Legion of Boom, and
that's
so all
right.
Of a sudden Legion of Boom is gone.
It's even what the Jets did with Mark Sanchez. I mean, he wasn't the quarterback that you'd hoped he would be, but at least they kind of brought him in with kid gloves, and they had a really good team around him, and he was able to win games just because of the talent with him.
Yeah, but then they started to lose some of the offensive talent, and it was like,
and
okay, Mark, you should be at the point where you can carry us, and that wasn't the case with him. Like, you realized that maybe he's not that guy. I didn't think you'd given Sam the opportunity to show you if he's that guy or not.
He shows
you flashes.
You've made it impossible for this kid.
But you're asking him to do something that that most, if not all, good organizations would not ask their young quarterback to do that early. Is to have a team that's bereft of talent and say, hey, okay, we drafted you third overall. We traded three second-round picks.
Yeah, go win.
Go win. Go carry us.
Yeah, it's almost an impossible situation. Sean Long Island. Sean, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I'm a disgruntled Jets fan, and at this point, it feels like the guys just don't want to play for a guy like Gase. No, I'm not going to be one of those crazy guys that's going to say fire him right now. But, like, you know, he was brought in to develop Sam Darnold, and Darnold's getting worse. I mean, at what point, and you know, I'm asking, like, literally asking, at what point do you guys think that you're going to say to yourself, he's just not getting better. We need to, find a new way to develop him. And if that's Fire Gase or whatever it is, where do we go from here? Almost feels like you save this guy. You know, like Greg Williams is the only guy that I think those guys want to even play for at this point. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you say save him, and you know, part of me agrees with you. Like, I think I feel awful for him that he's in this situation. I mean, when Jamal was acting up, I could understand why he was acting up. If you're not going to pay him a certain amount of money, why is he going to sit here and deal with dysfunction and losing? You only get so many years to play in the NFL. Why would you waste your prime years on a dysfunctional team? So I get it. But, I mean, and you guys mentioned it. If this team wins three games and they have the first overall pick and Trevor Lawrence is staring them right in the face.
What do you do?
And Joe Douglas didn't draft Sam Darnold. I mean, what do you do?
Well, I mean, the only difference would be if you drafted a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence and you moved off of Sam would be that the head coach would be a part of the process, would be a part of the evaluation, and thereby would be on board with taking him. You know what I mean? Like, those two would be married. I mean, with Todd Bowles, it felt like that was one of those forced situations. Mike Maccagnan wanted a quarterback, and You know, they just decided to go in that direction, and Todd Bowles was actually on the hot seat. So, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the right time for the organization to be breaking in a rookie quarterback. But, I mean, Chris, you still got to put the infrastructure around the kid in order for him to realize his potential. And that's what the Jets have failed to do. And Rex Ryan made a great point yesterday on Bart and Hahn when he said, you bring in these quarterback whisperers to just develop the quarterback, and you got to think about developing the team and developing the organization. That you have to have a macro view as a head coach. You can't be so locked in on one particular thing. And that's kind of – I think that was kind of the misstep for Chris Johnson. I mean, when he hired Adam Gase, he was like Adam Gase was going to work with the offense and Greg Williams was going to be this work with the defense. And you can't think of it as these two coaches operating in a silo. Like, you have to have one central figure within the organization, the head coach, is going to set the tone for everything that everybody in the building is doing. And Adam Gase has failed to do that in the last year and a half with the Jets.
The point you just made, though, and it's easy to sit here and play Monday morning quarterback, but I'm going to do it because we said it at the time. You had an experience with the Jets, correct? Where they offered you a certain – you said, no, I'm not playing. I don't want to deal with this mess. I don't want to play for the Jets, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a feeling around the NFL that the Jets are a dysfunctional organization.
Yeah.
And I know we said it at the time. When they had the third overall pick and there was any question if Todd Bowles was going to be the head coach for your team for the next 2 to 3 years, if there was a question that you could fire him, that job would have never been more attractive than that moment. You got a third overall pick. Now all of a sudden you're one of these coaches. You get a chance to pick your own quarterback. That's when the decision should have been made.
And the quarterback can spend the first 2 years of his pro career in the same system.
Exactly.
Like, you know, the biggest growth for a player, it happens in the first 3 years. I mean, when you talk about that second year and expecting guys to make that jump, it's because they have an entire offseason to do nothing but work on their craft. They're not training for the NFL Combine, and they're flying all over the country visiting with teams. They're in the playbook. They're studying the film from their rookie year, and they're thinking about how they can get better. And they're thinking about their role in whatever system they're playing in. That wasn't the case with Sam. I mean, when Todd Bowles was here, he had to learn a complete new system and he had to adjust to a level of play. And you're talking about a guy that only had 3 years of playing the quarterback position in his entire life before he got to the NFL. So there was going to have to be some significant development for him early on. And the Jets organization has done everything that they possibly could in order to stunt his growth. Like, they're showing you, this is the handbook, step-by-step, on how to ruin a young franchise quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, they're just checking off the boxes now at the moment.
These 15 games are huge for him. Huge for him. I mean, and I don't care the reason at this point. I understand there's no talent. I understand the coaching is not great. I get all those things. But if he gives you 15 games and we get to the end of the season, you're like, boy, I really don't know. And you have a top-5 pick. How do you not take a quarterback?
Because, I mean, the only reason you wouldn't do it is because you still don't know if Sam Darnold's the guy or not, because you haven't given him the right coach and the right personnel around him.
I mean, you're right.
But just think about it. That's a tough dilemma.
Dave,
just think about, I mean, if you're a defensive player going up against the Jets, and now there's no Lev Bell, and maybe, you know, who cares if Lev Bell's healthy or not because Gase doesn't want to use him the right way anyway. Why wouldn't you just pin your ears back and just go try to kill Sam Darnold? Like, who are you afraid of? The wide receivers can't create early separation, so what are you afraid of?
You're not afraid of Frank Gore. You're not afraid of Herndon. You're not afraid of Crowder. You're not afraid of, I mean, Mims doesn't even play. You're afraid of nobody. Chris Hogan, I mean, it's laughable what they have.
Canty would be licking his chops to play the Jets at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Even now.
No, yeah. I think he'd probably have success now, and he's a civilian.
Yeah. He's a talk show host.
I mean, I'd be fighting the lineup over anybody except for Mekhi Becton. Anybody else on the offensive line?
I'm going to go far.
I'm going to tell you something, Rick. Now, listen, we're laughing about it. Looks like you got a player at left tackle now. I'm telling you, the way that guy was moving people around, looks like you got a player, man. I was very impressed with Mekhi Becton. I didn't think that he was going to be able to move like that in pass protection.
The dude
has got some great feet
for a
big man.
Gets a
I mean,
big
he reminds me.
Too.
I'm going to tell you this. Rick, he reminds me of Jason Peters.
Ooh.
The way he plays. No, I'm serious. The way he moves for a big guy. I mean, Jason Peters is 340, 350 pounds, can play point guard. That's how athletic he is. Mekhi Becton has that same level of athleticism. You just need the technique to come along. But, I mean, This dude has got all the tools to be a pretty good one.
He looked good in game one. He's got a big, big test this week against the Niners as well. Brian in Long Beach. Brian, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm surprised about Gase. I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, he ran out three Pro Bowlers in Miami with Jay Ajayi, Jarvis Landry, and Pouncey. Are we surprised about this land by any means? Did we not know this was going to happen the second of that weird press conference he had? It's just so frustrating how dysfunctional it is that Sam Darnold is going to be laid out to dry. And if this continues and he gets run out of New York, he's going to be labeled a bust. He has no shot with this team and the way it's being run. And hopefully now we don't waste another first-round draft pick like we've done with Leonard Williams. He's gone. We got to keep Becton happy at some point. It's just so frustrating. Thanks for taking a call.
Yep. I don't blame him. I think you feel the same way if you're a Jets fan. I mean, Rick, you feel exactly like he feels, don't you?
No, I feel the exact same way. I mean, I just say at this point we're just wasting time is what we're doing. And we said this, but what frustrates me is we said all of this before they hired Adam Gase.
That's the crazy part about it. We called it. We said it from the moment that they announced that they were moving in that direction. Like when Matt Rhule was like, no, I don't want any parts of not being able to pick everybody on my staff, to no, we're not interested in Mike McCarthy. When they landed on Adam Gase as their guy, we were all saying, what the hell are they doing? But then all the Jets fans were coming in saying, we're going to choose to be positive and we're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And Adam Gase is a smart guy. He's a quarterback whisperer. And Peyton Manning gave him this endorsement. I said, okay, that all sounds well and good, but explain to me what happened down in Miami. A team that's in their division. You saw it firsthand, two games a year. What, just because they give you problems? Just because the Dolphins gave the Jets problems? That's all you needed to go out there and make him your head coach? It's just...
This is not
revisionist history, man. Like, we knew that this could potentially end bad. When you see how the former Miami Dolphins under Adam Gase are thriving in the NFL, Ryan Tannehill with the Tennessee Titans, Kenyon Drake with the Arizona Cardinals, DeVante Parker, now that Adam Gase ain't the head coach of the Dolphins. Like, it's not like we didn't know that Adam Gase was going to have problems with some of his star players because he did down in Miami. It's not like we didn't know that Adam Gase's offense can be a little bit stagnant. It's not like we didn't see these things before. But everybody chose to ignore it, and Chris Johnson told us all that he knew better, which is why he decided to go with him over guys that we all felt like were more qualified.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And you're one game into the season. You got 15 more of these. Today on ESPN Daily, for over 40 years, MLB umpire Joe West has worked behind home plate. He's a character that baseball fans and players love to hate. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Every Wednesday at 10:30, we bring him on to the show. Analyze the NFL really, really well, and that is Dan Graziano. Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you today?
We are doing well, although the New York football team's not doing probably nearly as well as our show is doing. Let me start out with the Jets. We've been having the conversation for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes about the Jets. Are you at the point where one game into the season, Dan, is the season done? And I don't think anybody expected them realistically to go to the postseason. But, I mean, are we looking right now, having watched them for one game, that you say this is a 3 or 4 win team? Or do you still hold out hope that this could wind up being a team that, you know, at least competes and at least winds up close to 500?
Yeah, I don't think I really had that hope for them anyway, right? Like, I thought this was a Jets team that, you know, it's still putting itself together, traded its best defensive player right before the season. And, it's about seeing what you can come out of this season with regard to Sam Darnold. Have you built him an offensive line? Have you found him a reliable weapon or two in the passing game? So I that's how I looked at it. Obviously, week one didn't do anything to improve my outlook of the Jets. But, yeah, I think, you know, we can expect them to struggle this year. And it's about what kind of growth they show over the course of the year. So I guess, you know, maybe you can look at it as a positive, because if it's about growth, you know, starting real low like that, then maybe that then there's so much more room for growth. Maybe that was the plan all along. Maybe just, like, set the bar low week one, and then by the end of the season, you'd be like, wow, look how much better they are. I don't know. Maybe it's a mad genius kind of thing.
Wow, Dan, I can't believe you're taking it there already. Listen, Dan, Lev Bell is probably going to miss the rest of the month with that hamstring injury. Not a lot of weapons to work with on that Jets offense. I mean, Joe Douglas told us before the season the reason why he didn't want to make a move is because he did want to have flexibility with the cap to potentially go out there and make a trade. We saw yesterday reports that Allen Robinson wanted out of Chicago. I mean, whether it's him or whether it's another playmaker around the National Football League, can you envision the Jets making a decision before the deadline to get Sam some help?
Well, I think it would have to do with the record, right? I mean, like, if they were to surprise and be in contention at the deadline, then, yeah, they have the draft capital, obviously, to do that. But I think if you're, you know, if you're looking at a team that, let's say they're, what, 3-5, 2-6 at the deadline, you know, if you're looking at that, then I don't know why you would trade a pick for a player like that who you then need to sign. I mean, unless you just have your eye on Allen Robinson as, like, your long-term answer, and you get him in the building and you give him a contract, that's one thing. But, you know, even then, you just wait for him to be a free agent next spring and do it and then still have your pick. So,
well, I think, Dan, the follow-up to that would be, you know, this is a huge year for Sam Darnold. You're talking about a guy that you invested a third overall pick in 3 years ago. So you need answers as to whether or not he's your guy, because if you aren't a team that's winning a lot of games, you're going to have a high draft pick, and you could be tempted to make the decision to move off of Sam and draft another quarterback.
Right, and they're going to have the extra pick from Seattle anyway, so no matter where they are, they'll probably be able to move around in the first round and get, you know, a guy if they do want him. Yeah, I understand your point. It kind of underlines why the Jets are in a really tricky situation right now with Darnold, because, yeah, you do want as good a group around him as possible so that you can evaluate him.
Correct.
We've seen teams make moves like that in the past.
Dallas Cowboys with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper.
Right, and that saved the season, right? I mean, like, that was that once they got Cooper, they played better and they won the division. So they were in a little bit different situation in terms of, I think. But, like, if you bring in a guy like that, and again, using him as an example, he doesn't want to – he wants a contract extension. Chicago, he hasn't been able to find common ground on a contract extension. And he feels like, well, if they're not going to extend me, I'd like to go somewhere, you know, where I could contend or where I have more reliable quarterback throwing me the ball. I'm not sure the Jets necessarily improve the situation from his standpoint. Not that he has any say over where he goes, but are you getting a player that's going to buy into your idea of, like, I need to help make this quarterback better for the long term?
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins probably would have been that guy. Dan Graziano joins us here on the show.
Odell or somebody.
Yeah, Dan, the whole thing is a mess. I mean, any way you slice it, it's not good. From what you've heard, I mean, how tied to Adam Gase is Joe Douglas?
Well, Gase brought him in, right?
I mean, I know.
Yeah. So.
I guess that's the question.
If you're talking about making a change at head coach for the Jets, you know, it's going to be an ownership decision, and I do think the two of them are tied together to a great extent. So, yeah, I mean, I think Douglas is not there, but for Gase, and if you're going to make the change at head coach, certainly the GM would be vulnerable as well. So, yeah, look. Fans are upset. I understand. They looked awful. It's them or the Browns looked the worst of any team in week one, and that stinks. You know, you look forward to the season, and you want to get excited, and you want to be optimistic, and then the team goes out and lays an egg. So I get it. But ownership groups like to at least think of themselves as more circumspect. So, you know, we'll take a look at the end of the year, what things look like with Adam Gase, what things look like with Joe Douglas. Do we want him there making our draft picks for us? The way the year goes will have a lot to do with that. But, you know, I don't know that they're – it's possible you keep one and not the other, but they're pretty well tied together from what I understand.
Wow. Jets fans are driving off the road here in that right now. Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Let me ask you about the Giants, and there's been a lot of takes that Saquon was just brutal, and I think blocking-wise he was, or the offensive line didn't open up holes for him. Is it a combination of both? Does somebody get more blame than the other as far as, you know, just a putrid running game opening night for the Giants?
Steelers were – that was the Steelers' defensive game plan. Stop him at all costs. Make the young quarterback beat us down the field, which a couple times he did, by the way. And, they were sending more than the Giants could block. Even if the Giants did have an offensive line that you felt really good about, they would have been outnumbered. So the extent to which he was hit in the backfield –
I think it was -3 yards per first contact. I don't think that the blame is on the running. Now, I mean, there are those who, if you want to nitpick and find something negative to say about Saquon Barkley, which most people don't, but the one thing you can look at is sometimes he swings for the fences instead of getting what's there. I don't think that was the case the other night. I think he kind of got what was there the other night, which was nothing. But I think the Steelers were definitely of a mind to make sure that guy did not beat them, and they had the personnel up front to pull it off. So Giants aren't going to face a better defense than that, and I would think Saquon has some big days ahead of him.
Dan, what did you make of Joe Judge's head coaching debut?
I mean, I didn't expect him to beat the Steelers. Was there like a glaring decision he made that stood out, that even like an inexperience, et cetera? I think that what I'm looking at for the Giants is Daniel Jones and how he progresses throughout this year. And I think he saw more good than bad. I don't think we're in a position, correct me if I'm wrong, I remember I watched the game, but I don't think about, was there something Joe Judge did or didn't do that would make you allow you to judge him on this game, no pun intended, or is it just about, for him, how prepared was the team to play the game? I mean, it's a tough first week matchup for any coach and a first year head coach. So I don't know that we're at the point to figure out what kind of coach he is until we see the team play for a while.
Dan Graziano joins us here on the show. Dan, just to go around the NFL for a quick second with you. Last one for me. Were you surprised at all that Bruce Arians aired out Tom Brady the way that he did?
No. He also criticized his left tackle and his wide receiver, Mike Evans, in that same news conference. This is who he is. I tell this story. David Johnson, when he was on the Cardinals, I remember talking to him, and he said that when he got to the Cardinals, the veteran players there said, they told him Bruce Arians believes he has the right call for whatever defense is on the field at that point, and that if it doesn't work, it's the players that messed it up. And Johnson said, I started laughing, but those guys weren't. So Arians is not going to go easy on his players. He doesn't go easy on them in practice. He doesn't go easy on them in public. He believes in holding them accountable, and he's not going to be the kind of coach that stands up there and goes, I got to coach better, and is never going to criticize a guy. Like he thinks Tom Brady can take it. So he's going to answer your question, as opposed to just find a way to not answer your question that best protects the player. So I was not surprised. I think this is what Brady's in for and what the Buccaneers are in for. And I think what we're seeing is a brighter spotlight on a Bruce Arians coach team than we've ever seen before. And I think that's why this is coming to the fore.
All right, Dan Graziano, good stuff. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Wednesday, 10:30 as well. Have a good week. Good weekend. Enjoy week 2.
Oh, time out.
What?
I thought someone else was going to ask the question. Dan, last one for me. I lied. I wanted to ask you this, and I didn't get a chance. Any truth to the rumor that Odell is already being shot by the Browns?
I have been told by multiple people close to that situation that the Browns have no intention of trading Odell Beckham at the start of this season. Now, do they fall out of contention? Do they look at – I'm sure they look at, could look at anybody on the roster other than, you know, Myles Garrett, who they just signed, people like that. But as of now, he is in their plans. I've been told that unequivocally. That is not something that they're actively trying to do. So if there is a rumor out there about that, then I would consider it inaccurate.
All right. Good stuff. Dan, we will talk to you next week. Enjoy week 2. We appreciate it as always.
Take care, guys. Thanks.
All right. That, of course, Dan Graziano. Now, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. And now streaming Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock Premiere Access. The Islanders are still alive, and they're in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals, and MSG Plus has complete live coverage before any and every playoff game, and after as well. Now, tomorrow night at 7:30, get ready for Game 6 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long, Shannon, Butch, and AJ, as they preview the matchup on Islanders Game Night. Then immediately following Game 6, tune back to MSG Plus for complete coverage, including in-depth analysis and player interviews. Your team, your network, MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every Islanders game. All right, Rick, the floor is yours.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Start off as we like to start off. Dave, you're not going to give us the weather, correct?
No, not today.
Not today.
We went to the weather today.
How about it's nice. Tomorrow's going to be mediocre, and then the next week should be very nice. Continue.
Beautiful. Yeah. A little chill in the air. I kind of like it.
There you go.
Dude, by the way, going through the stories and everything else, 2020, man, it's relentless,
it's
bro.
It's awful.
Dude, tell me this isn't fitting for 2020. This is a headline. Birds falling out of the sky in mass die-off in southwestern U.S. I mean.
So just like it's snowing dead birds?
Yeah, just dead birds. Just falling out of the sky.
Yeah. No.
It might swallows, have something to do with the air conditions out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just maybe.
Yeah. Got no job. Got no money. Pets. Heads are falling off. It's unbelievable.
Look at what is it? Dead birds coming.
Oh, yeah. Just imagine that. Just, oh, look, it's raining dead. Enough.
It's raining dead birds.
Enough already. Here we go. Did this happen in Florida, fellas? You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
Bus riders were going crazy when they noticed that a passenger on the bus was wearing, of all things, a giant snake as a makeshift coronavirus mask.
What?
At first, yeah, this is true. At first, they actually thought it was like a funky mask until all of a sudden the snake was crawling around on the handrails. There's pictures of this.
I don't understand how you could wear a snake as a mask.
The snake is wrapped around his neck in his face, up to like his nose. There's photos of it, and then he lets the snake just start crawling around on the rails of the bus.
This can't be Florida. I'm gonna say
how
not.
Can you say this can't be Florida?
I'm not. That's what I'm gonna say. I'm usually pretty good, and I'm gonna say not Florida.
Not Florida, he says. Canty, what do you think? Florida?
I don't even think that's this country.
Not even this country, he says. I should also mention, too, this isn't the first time something crazy has happened. People have also been using umbrellas and grapefruit skins to help keep the...
umbrellas? Who wear umbrellas a mask?
The COVID. And grapefruit skins. Grapefruit skins as well. Santi, Florida. You're good
at
this game.
That seems like not this country.
Oh, you guys are right on point. That is not Florida. That is the UK.
Wouldn't have said the UK.
I wouldn't have guessed the UK.
It's a pretty big snake, too, wrapped around his neck.
Oh, my God.
All right, we don't have much time, so I'll give you this one. This was Derek Carr during the Las Vegas Raiders game at the line of scrimmage.
Hey, Cindy Gruden, Tiger Woods.
How about that for an audible?
And how did John Gruden feel about Derek Carr mentioning his wife's name in the audible?
I didn't notice any crowd noise yesterday. I even heard my wife's name on TV. Derek used my wife's name in one of his audibles. Unfortunately for me, I could never hear him until yesterday. So I don't know what he's been up to at the line of scrimmage, but better keep my wife out of it from now on.
He's very funny. Oh, my God. I bet you if he hit a 40-yard touchdown, they'd be audibling to Cindy Gruden every play.
Oh, yeah. Knock on wood if you're with me. That'd be the call.
Right,
Cindy Gruden action.
Cindy Gruden,
Tiger Woods though.
Yeah,
yeah. That leaves again. You mentioned my wife's name and Tiger Woods in the same sentence.
Yeah, you don't feel good about anything.
No, there's going to be some questions.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.